friend, you're listening to Life Coach in Your Pocket with me, your certified life coach, Rachel Bailey. Each week, I'll bring you inspiration, motivation, and empowering learnings to help you navigate life's unexpected terrains. I believe that the more we know, the faster we grow. So each week, I'll be teaching high-level coaching concepts that you can apply to your real life. Here's to accomplishing big dreams, believing in your inner champion, and living a life filled with ease and joy. Like all navigational tools in the 21st century, I fit right in your pocket. I'm a life coach in your pocket. Happy listening. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life Coach in Your Pocket with me, your certified life coach, Rachel Bailey. I have here an awesome guest who is so super qualified and such a genuinely kind, amazing person, my really good friend, Nathan Serrato. Nathan is a self-expression coach. As a self-expression coach and a trauma-informed yoga and breathwork instructor, Nathan has aimed to break people free from their shame prisons and help them to participate in life as their fully expressed selves. Nathan has nearly a decade of experience working in marketing, communication, nonprofits, and served on the planning commissions of Escondido. All his leadership experiences have served to bring Nathan back to his mission of helping people shed their worldly conditioning and rediscover the best parts of themselves. As someone who has experienced the shame-ridden challenges of religious and sexual trauma, the mental health resources available were disappointing, to say the least. Nathan aims to bring inclusive, holistic, and most up-to-date practices to help people return to their authentic expression so they can truly start living. And it's not on here, but Nathan and I were at Train the Trainer together, which is the highest form of NLP training that exists. And we were in the same cohort together and we graduated together as a master certified NLP Train the Trainer. So yay! Welcome, Nathan. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Can I just say that I don't think my bio has ever sounded so good. There's something about your voice and the way that you said it. I was like, yes, can you just always read that? I'm going to record that and save it for, I don't know, to use moving forward.
That's hilarious. I don't think you know this about me, but I used to be a poetry major in college and I would have to get up in front of the room and read poems all the time. And I was voted best poetry reader of my class.
I love that. How did I not know that?
They liked the writing of my poetry so much as the reading of it.
That was a good time though, at Train the Trainer. Rachel and I, we had a lot of dance parties to take a break because it was a 3-week intensive training, probably the most rigorous training I've ever been to. Was about 10-hour days, 12-hour days, and we'd have to study after. We had to memorize a 70-page test word for word and write down these answers. Like, you couldn't get one thing wrong on this test. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I'm just so grateful that you were there with me because, like, we just kept each other going. We coached each other when we were getting down and we danced to the Goofy movie soundtrack, which helped me to just relieve some stress one night.
I will remember that all of my life for as long as I live. Just, I think it was your suggestion because I was almost in tears at looking at this test for like the 12th hour that day. And you were like, we need a dance break. Let's just put on some music. And we were dancing around. I have it on video somewhere. Good times. Well, one of the things that we did to get certified in NLP Train the Trainer was we were required to give 2 presentations each on any NLP topic that we wanted. And I was surprised, but so impressed, Nathan, that you chose to tackle meta model, because this is an NLP concept that, although I deem as one of the most important, It is definitely not something that I can articulate very well, or at least definitely couldn't back then when we were doing this training. And I could not believe that not only did you choose this one, that I was like, oh, heck no, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. You crushed it. You crushed it. So I am so excited that you're here to talk to the listeners about Metamodel. And right before we started recording, you asked me a really important question. Do you remember what it was?
I said, what's important to you that our listeners get from today's podcast?
Yes. And I said two things. I really want people to learn how to be better communicators because, to me, in my head, if you can communicate with someone, you can get anything you want on the planet. You can get a raise at work if you know how to communicate with your superiors. You can have a better relationship with your spouse if you know how to communicate your needs and wants. You can have a better relationship with your kids if you have an open line of communication. So I was like, let's give people the treasure, the gift of understanding how to communicate with Metamodel. And also, one of the reasons that I listen to podcasts, especially now at this season in my life, because I'm very isolated when I'm not working or talking to someone on Zoom, I'm a full-time mom. And so I will take my son on a walk and I will listen to podcasts simply for the sake of hearing other people connect and have relationship. And that's something that I wanted to share with the world is our awesome friendship. So.
Which has actually survived long distance. It started long distance, and we've been able to maintain that long distance friendship. And where that question I asked is really the concept we're going to teach today is Metamodel, which is how to navigate the converse or how to navigate the language structure. And so that question, what it did was to help get Rachel and I on agreement. What's important to you? We're able to find connection and communication as central points for what we're going to do for the rest of this call. And when I know that, not only do I feel more connected with Rachel, but like it just puts us on the same wavelength.
Yeah, so cool. Do you have any additional? I should have asked you the same question. Do you have any additional intentions that you would like for people to get from our podcast today?
Yes, well, why I chose Metamodel. Well, one, I don't know why. It felt like the easier one to me. Like it's just easy for me with language. I've been obsessed with communication, studied communication in college, and I was equally impressed that you chose strategy elicitation and eye patterns. I was like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. So I was very impressed by you. But I was excited that you asked me to come on this podcast, talk about Metamodel, because like you said, is anything that you want is on the other side of communication. And so when we can navigate communication, not only do we have a better life, but we actually can create better relationships with each other. And I think we're in a period of time in our history where we've just come out of this pandemic. And we all of our relationships are changing. Our society has changed. And in order to bring us more united, bring us together, in order to have a social life again, we need to really master our language. And Metamodel is just one tool that you can use to navigate conversations better. So if you want to communicate better at work with your parents, your family, your friends, your partner, roommate, whatever it is, this is a really simple topic that you can apply to your life.
Yes. Yes. And I think a good place to start for people is what is Metamodel? Nathan, what's the easiest way to describe what Metamodel actually is?
Metamodel is a way to navigate the structure of language. So there are two types of people in this world, global versus specific thinkers. And so our global thinkers are big picture people, their heads up in the clouds, think CEOs, think the daydreamers, the creatives. They're very global thinking. And then you have the specific thinkers who are very detail oriented. They're down in the weeds. They're the problem solvers. They're getting down the doers of the world. And so when you have global thinkers and specific thinkers trying to communicate together, so much gets lost in translation. So what Metal Model allows us to do is find a pathway for global thinkers and specific thinkers to communicate with each other.
I like this explanation a lot. So, the way that I understand Meta Model is that we are receiving information that's been deleted, distorted, or generalized. Recovering, that's the word I'm trying to think of. We're recovering the information that's been deleted, distorted, and generalized. Is that a pretty good definition for Meta Model?
100%. Yeah. Helps us to recover that lost information so we can get into agreement.
Okay, fantastic. So where should we start, Nathan? What is a good place for them to start learning about what Meta Model is, where it came about, how to use it? Where would you like to start?
Why don't we start with Milton Erickson, the
Okay.
grandfather of hypnotherapy and hypnotic language?
Yay! So quick plug here for anyone that has listened to, I did a couple of episodes, one on what is hypnotic language and one episode on is your government hypnotizing you? I actually explained Milton Erickson's language patterns and language models in those two episodes. So it's not required that you go back and listen to those, but it is information for you. If you recall, some of this information you were taught, but I would love for it to be more clearly laid out for them. So, where would you like to start, Nathan?
Well, I guess I want to tell you just a little bit about Milton Erickson. And so he had just this quality about him and these tools that he would use that people were fascinated with, especially in the height of psychotherapy. And people were like, oh, what is all this woo-woo magic stuff you guys are doing? There wasn't a lot of credibility at the time for what they were doing. Yet he had a way of asking people these questions where it almost felt like their problems would disappear. So he would bring them more abstract to global thinking to help them get out of the weeds. And so we call this chunking up. Milton Erickson chunked up language, helped them to get above the problem and see things from a more global perspective. So questions that he might have asked, or what's the intention of this? What's the purpose of this? What's important to you about this problem, to help them really connect with the core essence of what they were trying to communicate. Because a lot of time, people, let's face it, we're running around with all these details, we're inundated with information that we have to take a step back from the problem in order to look at it. And so Milton Erickson, with chunking up, was able to ask these questions so people could take a step back, look at the situation, and connect with what is the most important thing about this conversation, similar to what we did at the beginning of this call.
Okay, so at the beginning of this call,
Part.
were those considered Milton Erickson model questions? What's important to you about the podcast? What do you hope people get from the podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're with Milton Erickson, we're getting more of a global picture of what people want, desire, see.
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. And so your answer to communication and connection, that's chunking us up to now these higher perspectives.
Okay, when I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's say
Put me
I'm
on the spot.
okay, let's do it. Let's say I'm working with a client. When would I use Milton model to chunk them up? What would be like a good real life example of that? If I'm working with a client who might be stuck in the details, they might need some support chunking higher. When in what context would I use Milton Erickson?
Well, I'll give you an example. So when I was working at that nonprofit, a lot of times my superior at the time, she would give me these projects and she was very detail focused. And as a creative, I had no idea what to do with this information. She's like, we're trying to accomplish this goal and we need this at this time, and here are the dates about what I'm thinking. And I'm like, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? What is the goal of this project? And what's the purpose of it? And so now I have the big picture. Oh, we're trying to raise money for more land conservation. Great. Okay, great. And what's important to you about this campaign? Well, it's important for me to recognize or help people recognize the value of preserving land. So now I have these two things. I have the goal and I have what's important to her. So now I can complete this project and design things that are going to support raising money and helping people see the value of land conservation. So is that a good example?
Yes, and
It's
it
like,
made me
okay.
realize we do this so naturally, you and I, as coaches, and any other coaches who are listening, that we sometimes forget, why do I ask that specific question? Or why is it important to know about Milton Erickson? And as you're telling me this, I'm like, oh yes, I do that all the time with clients or in anyone that I'm communicating with. And there's a specific reason why we don't ask why questions. Can you tell us why that is?
Is rude.
It
Why? Why are you asking me that, Rachel? No.
can be interpreted.
I would say that it can, for two reasons. One, it can turn some people off when we ask why. And it can put up that defense model where, or that defense mechanism for people. Whereas a what's your intention? What's the purpose behind this? What do you hope to accomplish? Those questions will invite a curiosity with it, and that what leaves it so much more open-ended than just why?
Yeah.
Why? It's
Yes.
stale.
It's so good because even in your example, when you were talking to your boss, I would be mortified if I were to go ask my boss, why are we doing this? Right? I would just feel like I'm not allowed to ask that question. But if I'm asking for more information about the project's vision and for what purpose and what's our goal, then I'm going to get my why questions answered without asking it.
Absolutely. And you can do this not just in an office. You can do this with your spouse or partner. Let's say your partner likes to leave the dishes on a certain part of the sink. And you can say, well, what's important to you about leaving your dishes here? You say, oh, well, I'm worried that they're gonna get moldy if I put them on this part of the sink. Oh, okay, cool. Now I know why. And we can have a conversation about that. But it's better than just attacking them for, putting a dish in a certain spot or asking that why question. Why are you doing that? It's very aggressive. So.
It is very aggressive. It's so funny because as a coach, if I'm in the coaching realm, I'm gonna play by the quote unquote rules of coaching and probably never ask a why question or maybe ask a why question maybe like twice a year. But in my personal relationships, this is a good reminder because when I'm not in my coaching hat, I can forget and I can totally go to my husband and be like, why? Why are you putting your shirt on the floor instead of, hey, for what purpose are you putting your shirt on the floor? And that actually happened the other day. And he was like, well, because I'm gonna put it back on. And I thought that was a strange answer, but I was like, well, now I know.
Right, yeah. It's not going to solve every problem, but it gives you an understanding there. So now you know why. Because potentially you could find another solution there, Rachel. Potentially you set him up a chair or something where, hey, this is going to be I'm going to put this back on later chair, and you can put your clothes there instead of the floor. Right. And then you can now negotiate a new way of him being able to re-put on that shirt without putting it in the dirty laundry, because I do that all the time, Rachel. Not gonna lie.
I just don't, my brain doesn't work that way. So I'm just like, I wouldn't need to do that, but more power to you. Oh, that's great. Okay, so Milton Erickson is chunking up so we can gain agreement, see the bigger picture, find the purpose in things.
It's more abstract thinking,
Abstract,
global.
global, or as I mentioned in other previous podcasts, we can use them for hypnotic language patterns as well, although that's not the only reason why you would chunk up or chunk to the higher picture. Cool. Okay, so
Then
conversely.
there's Virginia Satir, who kind of did the opposite. And people were so fascinated. They're like, okay, you have this way of now asking these questions of your clients that get so into the detail that similarly their problems would disappear. So Milton Erickson was asking these questions, chunk up and abstract, and they would see things from a higher perspective, and they'd be like, oh yeah, no, I guess what's really important here is not the details of this, it's this higher purpose. Virginia would ask these questions and help them realize these flaws in their logic. So I'll give you an example here. So if someone made a generalization saying something like, I have to make my kids lunch tomorrow. I have to, right? There's so much emphasis on the have to. It's a necessity. It's a rule. And so as a coach, my job is to help people see more choices and possibility in their life. So what I would ask in this situation is, well, what would happen if you didn't? I'm trying to recover a counterexample here. What would happen if you didn't make that lunch tomorrow for your kids? And I actually did this with a client. So no, I actually did this with a client. And so she says, well, then my husband would have to make it. And then I chunk down again. I'm asking more specific questions. How specifically is it a problem if your husband has to make the lunches? And she just stops, and for a moment, she realizes, well, I guess it's not a problem. I could ask him. I was like, okay, if you want to, great. But what we've done there is now we've eliminated this necessity that she has to do anything. Because we don't have to do anything. There's like the necessity of things. Sometimes we make a bigger deal out of things than it really is. So by going into the details and chunking down the specifics, it helps us to realize that there are more possibilities and options than we realize.
Okay, so by recovering the detail specifics of where this thought is coming from, that she feels she has to make the lunches, instead of chunking her up, which would have maybe been a question of, for what purpose do you have to make the lunches? Instead, you took the counter of, I'm going to actually recover the distorted, generalized information of where she even believes this. By asking her what would happen if she didn't, where we're gaining more information and more detail, specific things, rather than chunking up to the why or the purpose.
Yeah. So she has a rule that her husband can't make lunches. And so we're questioning down into these specific rules that she's working with.
Okay, cool. I get it. So I'm trying to think of another job. Oh, or another job. I said job because my brain was working ahead of my mouth. I'm just thinking of another example. I was working with a client earlier today, actually, that said, I can't quit my job. So in this example, there's no choice. What would be an example of a meta model question that would chunk him down and recover some information that might give him more choice?
You can't.
I like that.
Simple. I just question the modal operator in the sense of so the can, the can't, the won't, the impossible, the have to, the should, the mustn't. Those questions. You shouldn't. You must. You have to. It could be that simple. Or you can get a little more curious. You can say, what would happen if you did? What would happen if you quit your job?
I like that question.
And it's not that it's always the best decision to quit your job, right? But it allows you to really think about things. Oh, well, I would have to find a new job, or I guess I'd have to move in with my brother, or I would I would have to live off my savings. And it helps them to actually consider more possibilities than they're actually considering.
And yes, and what came up for me in this example, as I'm thinking more about it and reflecting more about it, is this specific client was putting rules and regulations on himself that I didn't know where they were coming, I didn't know where the rules were coming from. So another meta question that I could have asked was, according to whom? You can't quit your job. And so, how many times do we work with clients who put rules on themselves, norms that whether they're coming from society or parents or friends or a community of people, or they're just totally made up? There's nobody putting a rule on me or this other person except for my own self.
And it's so funny when you ask this question, that according to whom question, it stops them in the track. You see, like, that deer in headlights, like they just made a realization, like, oh, I guess, maybe I got this rule from my parents, or I guess I'm operating on these, like, made up rule book for my life. Just and it's just amazing when they can break out of that and see, like, oh, I have choices. Oh, it's such a good feeling.
Yes. What's an example, Nathan, where you have used meta model in your own life?
That's a great question. Meta model in my own life. I feel like I use it all the time. It just put me on the spot, Rachel. So there was an event I went to. I think that this was 2020. It was right before the pandemic hit. And I was learning marketing for my business so that I could take my business full time and really move forward with it. This business program was $12,000, which I had never spent that much money on anything besides my college degree at the time. Well, a car too. But just for me, for my business, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't spend $12,000. What am I, how am I going to make this money? So I start asking myself all these meta questions. What would happen if I did spend this money? What would happen if I did get a loan? What would happen if I applied for this loan program? So I applied for the loan program, I got it. And then I asked myself, well, what are some other ways I could do this, which is more lateral chunking? And I actually asked my parents for a loan. They were able to loan me part of it. So I only had to borrow from this bank, 7,000. But that freed me up then to say yes to my business. Otherwise, I wouldn't have. I would have said, I don't have 12,000 in my account. I cannot make this purchase. So by asking myself, well, what if I did? What if I did take out a loan? What could I? It just gave me more options to be able to do that. So I wouldn't be here today with you had I not asked myself these deeper questions and challenged my logic. Because that's what we're doing here. We're challenging our own logic and framework.
Yeah, I love that way of saying it, challenging my own logic. Or thinking about my own thinking, like where is this coming from? Where is this my immediate knee-jerk reaction coming from? Is it coming from my upbringing? Is it coming from society? Is it coming from my parents? Is it coming from my religious beliefs? If I know where it's coming from, then I can make a more informed decision whether or not you decide to do the program or not do the program, or date this person, not date this person, go to this school, not go to this school. If you can ask yourself enough questions to at least figure out what's motivating me, then the world is your oyster, really. You brought up lateral chunking, Nathan, which we haven't explained. Would you mind explaining
That's the
that?
next part.
Okay.
Yeah. So if Milton Erickson is chunking up, getting more abstract, and Virginia Satir is chunking down, getting into the weeds, getting more specific, then lateral chunking is exploring other options. So this is actually where I can tell a story where I've used this recently. So I was planning a trip to go see the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. My friend was flying into town. And in my head, I had this idea that she was going to visit a couple of days early and we're going to hang out and go to the beach and we're going to go do all these things. And then she let me know that she wasn't coming until the day before. And I was, oh no, like she doesn't want to hang out with me. She hates me. Oh, she doesn't care about me or my feelings. Like I was making up all these stories, getting in my feelings. So rather than just sit there and get angry and be upset and just say fine and be pouty, I asked her, hey, what's important to you about flying in a day early versus 2 days before? And then she let me know that I forgot what it was, but it was like a logistical thing that she couldn't. And I was like, oh, okay. So it has nothing to do with you hating me. It's just logistically, you can't make it. So asking these questions not only allowed me to chunk up to realize what was important to her, but then we found other ways that we could still connect because she still wanted to connect and hang out. I was able to tell her that. So I said, well, what are some other ways that we can hang out? And so, of course, she stayed up later. We ended up going to Palm Springs after, and we had a great time and we hung out and it was great. But lateral chunking now is you're looking for alternatives. What are some other ways that we can hang out? What are some other examples? What are alternative solutions? Where else can we go? It's the what else of it all.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm remembering this from NLP Train the Trainer. So this wasn't my presentation, but I remember the example of explaining lateral chunking was transportation. So, what are examples of transportation? Car. What's another example? Airplane. What's another example? Train. What's another example? Boat. Yet, see, this is why I need you here, Nathan, because you're really good at Milton chunking up, meta chunking down, and lateral chunking across. Because I know I probably do this intuitively, unconsciously as a coach, but explaining it is challenging for me. Can you give us an example of using lateral chunking with a client? Or I know you just gave us one in your real example of like, in your real life, of hey, what are some other ways that we can solve this problem? Can you think of questions that you might ask of a client to get them to see lateral?
Yeah, I actually like that you brought up the car example because I think starting there is good. So, if we chunk up with a car's transportation, and if we lateral chunk, what are some other ways we can find transportation? There's the plane. So if we take that same example into a personal problem, so let's say I have a client who's really set on becoming an actor. And becoming an actor for them was actually hurting them in a lot of ways, financially, and they weren't able to live in the place they wanted or live the life they wanted. So they were kind of trapped by this dream of wanting to become an actor. And I'm not going to tell this client that. I'm just going to ask, what's important to you about being an actor? And what we realize is that is one of the one places that they feel loved. Great. So love and feeling loved is the reason that they're pursuing this dream. So now that we know that, we chunk up to this idea of love. What are some other ways that you can feel loved? And so they might be like, well, actually, I can put myself out there in communities more. I can maybe volunteer. I can actually maybe I can get a job at this place, that there's a good community environment there. And so now they're opening up options and realizing that this they're so set on becoming an actor that they don't see possibilities of other ways that they can feel fulfilled and feel loved.
I see.
So I'm just asking, what are some other ways you can achieve this goal?
Yeah.
It's very simple. What else? What are other ways? What are other examples?
So good. As you were talking, I was like, oh my gosh, I've done this in my own life. I just didn't know there was a name for it, lateral chunking. But my years ago, probably like 7, 8 years ago, my dream was to like make it to the top of network marketing. And when I started asking myself these questions, like why, what was important to me about that goal, chunking myself up to the vision, I realized this to me was an avenue, was a pathway for me to do a few things. Work from home. I wanted to lead people, coach people, and I wanted speaking engagements. And I thought, well, if I'm at the top, you know, of some company, then people will book me for speaking engagements. So it was, that was my why. I was like, well, I want to coach people. I want an income and work from home. And I want some speaking engagements. Well, I have all those things in my life now, but I took a different avenue. I decided to become a life coach and a motivational speaker because through coaching with a coach, I realized that network marketing, I wouldn't say it was hurting me, or maybe I would. It just wasn't the path for me. It was just, there were so many things about it that didn't resonate with my lifestyle that I was like, I can actually get the same end result that I'm looking for on a different path, which is what I decided to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, and I want to bring it back to this theme of opening a possibility for people. And it's like, so this tool, the meta model, when we know how to navigate language, we open up pathways not only in our communication but in our lives. And I just think it's beautiful to be able to have options and choices in life and be able to see them.
Yeah. I think when you boil it down to what people really want in their life, it comes down to two or three things. They want choices, they want love, and they want happiness. That's
Simple.
it.
Now
Yeah.
go use your mouth and go get it. Speak up, ask the questions. One thing we didn't talk about though, Rachel, is how ridiculous the word lateral chunking is. And when I first heard it, the only thing I could think of is like having drinking too much or something in the past and like just thinking about like just puking everywhere, like lateral chunking. That's all I thought of every time I heard that word.
Okay. That's funny. I never thought of that, but now I always will. Forever burning my brain.
Probably not the vision we want to put into people's minds
Now
when you use this,
we've
but funny nonetheless.
got
Chunking.
to give them, now we've anchored it. We've got to give them like a audio anchor. So when you have that visual of lateral chunking, think like all of your choices. You could throw up outside, you could throw up in the sink, or you could throw up in the toilet.
Where else can I vomit? What's going to be the best solution here?
I'm leaving
Oh,
it in. Just
yeah.
like, no, like this is staying in the
Oh, this is great. I love that.
podcast. Now, one thing that you do really well, Nathan, is you help people ask these questions in their own life. Whereas I think that I am a really great coach in a lot of ways. One thing that sets you apart is that you're really good at teaching people how to live authentically and live these questions out and walk these questions out. And I know you do this. It's something that you do, throughout the year. You, is there, how can people connect with you, get to know what you have going on? Is there any events that you have coming up where you can support people further with this?
Yeah, thank you. One, thank you for saying that. And it's important to me to help people express themselves more, because there was a time when I felt like who I was very wrong, and I was embarrassed to communicate and really be authentic to myself. And here I am living the life that I've always wanted to. And so yeah, and I'm excited to do that for people. If you're interested in learning more, I actually do have a 5-day class coming up in November, and it's all about having the audacity to communicate who you are. So me and my co-teacher, Helen, will be running that class. You can go to nathanserrato.com, and that's Serrato, and you can find more information there.
Helen Kaniak. Am I saying that right? Fine. So you can just say yes. no, I'm just kidding. Helen has been on this podcast several times. So if people have been listening for a while, they will recognize that name. So you guys are putting on a class together called Have the Audacity. I love that. Where did that name come from? That's hilarious.
I don't know. It just came out of our mouths one day when we were planning it. Have the audacity. It's like, you know how some people have a lot of audacity? It's like, where do you put all that audacity? Like where do you keep it? Like, you just have so much, like the audacity for you to just say these things. And like, how do we systematize this? Like, well, if you can have that much audacity, how can we learn to cultivate our own audacity so we can have the audacity to go and ask for the raise we want? Have the audacity to take a bubble bath in the evening? Have the audacity to, spend a little money on the Taylor Swift concert that you wanted to go to, whatever it is, right? But
Your husband,
audacity.
the kids' lunches.
Yes. Ask your husband to make the kids' lunches. Yes. You have the audacity to ask for what you need, to ask for help in life. That's what we hope people get.
This name is so good. I love it so much. What are the dates? Did you say them? What are the dates of your class?
Let me double check. I think it's the first weekend of November. Or yes, first full week. So November 6th through 10th.
Perfect. Love it. Okay, cool.
5 to 6:30 Pacific Standard Time.
In the evening, yeah. In the evening.
Yeah.
Okay. And people can go to nathanserrato.com. I'll put that link in the show notes so people can just scroll down and click on it if they want to check it out. Yay. So what, just give me like one or two things. What will they get from the class?
Ooh, you're going to learn what boundaries are. You're going to learn how to make requests, and you're going to learn the nonviolent communication model so that you can have conversations with people you love without cutting them off, right? Because that's not what communication is about, or boundaries are about. That's the misconception of boundaries. It's not about cutting people off or punishing people. It's about deepening the intimacy of relationships.
Yeah, boom, mic drop. I love that. I don't know where that misconception comes from that boundaries is basically like shutting people out, because I've heard a surprising amount of people describe boundaries that way. I don't know where that comes from, but I love the option of keeping people in your life and also having the audacity to set your own needs and make that very clear. Cool. Is there anything else we didn't talk about that we should or want to?
No, just that Rachel is one of the most amazing humans that I've ever met, and she is just brilliant at teaching and coaching and just a wonderful friend. So thank you for having me on.
Ah, I feel the same way about you, Nathan. I don't know if you'll get this reference at all, but you're my soup snake. It's from The Office.
I've lost you.
Okay.
No.
It's from The
I'm
Office.
still catching up with The Office. I haven't watched it all the way through yet.
Okay. Well, Michael Scott, he's talking about Holly Flax, his soulmate, but he wrote it on a piece of paper and he can't read his own handwriting. And he's reading it to the camera and he says, Holly is my soup snake. So you're my soup snake.
Love that. I'm gonna go watch the episode now.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. All right, everybody. Well, remember, Life is a journey. Have the audacity to be the one in the driver's seat. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Life Coach in Your Pocket. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, or if you're looking to get involved in one of my coaching programs, you can reach me directly at coachrachelbailey.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.